The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2. Luke 2. We will read the first 20 verses. The text for this morning's sermon will be verses 8 through 20, and I will not reread them. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now the words of the text. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We end our scripture reading at that point. Tell the story of Christmas. That is the instruction that we received at seminary regarding what to preach on Christmas morning. In other words, this sermon should not be a technical explanation of the doctrine of the Incarnation as it's laid out clearly for us in the Belgic Confession, Article 18. But instead, this sermon should be, and it will be, a sermon on the birth of Jesus Christ, on the story of Christmas. And now this morning, I want to tell the story of Christmas, especially to the young children of the church. As we were reminded a couple weeks ago, every sermon should be understandable so that even the young children are getting at least something from the sermons that are preached. But at times, it's good that a minister aim his sermon directly at the children. So boys and girls, this sermon is meant especially for you. If we could, I would have all the kids in the church come and sit in these first few pews so that I could speak directly with the young children. We're not going to do that this morning, but it would be nice. And this morning, we're going to tell the story of Christmas from the perspective of the shepherds The chapter that we just read speaks of shepherds. They were the ones to whom this announcement came. They were the ones who got to see Jesus while he was lying there in the manger. And so this morning, we're going to focus on the shepherds and their experience of the first Christmas. So the theme for this morning's sermon is Jesus' birth, heard and seen of shepherds. Jesus' birth, heard and seen of shepherds. We'll look first at the glad tidings they received. Second, at their threefold response. And then third, at the privileged position. Jesus' birth, heard and seen of shepherds, the glad tidings they received, their threefold response, and the privileged position. We read of shepherds here in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And now it was these shepherds who would get these glad tidings. The announcement of Jesus' birth came to them. Children, to whom do you think that announcement should have come? We would think perhaps to a king, perhaps to someone of great importance, or if not a king, then maybe the high priest or a group of Levites. We would think this an important announcement would be given to them, but instead, it came to the shepherds, men who just take care of sheep. That's all that they do. They live out in the field. These men don't have a very important position. But yet, this announcement came to shepherds. And now, these were not just any shepherds. These men were believers. And the verses that follow will make that very clear, that these men had faith in the promises of God. These were the men who were still waiting for God to fulfill all the promises that He had made to His people. They were waiting for the coming Messiah and hoping for Him. And now the Bible tells us that these shepherds were abiding in a field. That is, they were out in the countryside. They were away from the towns and the villages. And that meant what was about to take place would be something that they alone would see. They would be the only witnesses of this. And the Bible also tells us that it was nighttime. So it's appropriate that we picture a nighttime scene. But now, more than being merely a physical night in which it's dark, they were in the middle of a 400-year-long spiritual night. And when I speak of a spiritual night, we're talking about the fact that there had been no word from God directly for the last 400 years. No word from God since the prophet of Malachi. And so maybe believers like these shepherds were beginning to doubt God's promises, beginning to wonder, where is the promised snake crusher? When will the seed of Abraham ever come? Where is the son of David who's going to sit upon the throne forever? Well, if these shepherds did have those doubts, they did not have to wait much longer for all those doubts to be dispelled, for them to be gone, because an angel came and appeared to them. We read of that in verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Children, who here has seen an angel? If we did have all the children in the front, and this was a sort of catechism or a chapel, we could ask, show of hands, who has seen an angel? And no one would raise their hand. Because none of us have ever seen an angel. And so when we read in the Bible about these shepherds seeing an angel, we immediately wonder, what did this look like? Did this angel look like a man with wings behind him? Did he sort of glow and radiate light? Or did he look completely different than what we might imagine or what we might expect. What a thing for these shepherds to get to see an angel standing in front of them. And they recognized this angel for what he was immediately. They had no doubt in their mind who and what was standing before them. And added to this, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. No doubt this angel was in some way reflecting the heavenly glory and majesty of our God, but the Bible tells us that the glory of the Lord was shining around them. It was illuminating the night space all around them. And so, the shepherds were afraid. Shepherds were used to sudden action. Sometimes a wolf would come charging into the sheep and the shepherds would have to spring up ready to go. But they'd never seen anything like this. And so the Bible tells us literally they were fearing a great fear. They'd never seen anything like this. All of a sudden, unexpectedly, there was this angel in front of them. But now this angel came with an announcement. He had an announcement. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Boys and girls, sometimes the minister will make an announcement from the pulpit before congregational prayer or before the service. And sometimes those announcements are sad. The announcement of a death, or that someone is in the hospital. The type of things that make us afraid, that make us scared. But other times, the announcement that a minister will make from the pulpit is good news, something to be happy about, like the announcement of a birth. The minister might say, so-and-so was blessed with a baby girl, mother and child are both doing well. We had an announcement like that just a couple weeks ago. Well, this angel came to make an announcement to these shepherds. And he had a good announcement to make. And that's why he says, "Fear not. You don't need to be afraid of what I'm about to tell you. For I bring you glad tidings." I'm coming with good news. Literally, I'm coming with the gospel. And these are glad tidings of great joy. This is something to be happy about. This is something to rejoice over. And these are tidings that are to all people. Not just to you shepherds. Not just to the Jews. Not just to everyone alive at this time, but to all people throughout all the world and throughout all ages. But now, what was that announcement? Well, it was not all that different from the type of announcement we might make or hear. The angel answered the question, "What?" There's been a birth. When? Just today. Where? In Bethlehem, the city where David was born. Who? The Savior. Christ the Lord. The angel uses three names there: Savior, Christ, and Lord. Names that we explain what they mean when we go through the Heidelberg Catechism, and names that clearly showed to these shepherds that the one for whom they'd been waiting had finally come, that the snake crusher had arrived, that the seed of Abraham had been born, and that the Son of David had come into this earth. And along with this announcement, there was a sign, verse 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The Savior had been born, and now this angel tells the shepherds where they can find this newborn baby. Only he was not in a place where you would normally expect to find babies. He was in a manger. A manger is a place for animals, not for babies, but yet that's where the angel told them they could find this child. And now by telling them where they could find this newborn Savior, the angel was implying, he was telling them, you should go visit. You should go and see that child. But now before they could do so, something even more amazing happened before these shepherds. Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. In other words, children, more angels suddenly appeared on the scene. Boys and girls, did you know that angels are fascinated with the gospel? 1 Peter tells us that the angels, like the prophets in the Old Testament, were always looking into the Old Testament scriptures. The angels were always studying the Old Testament scriptures so that they could learn about this coming Messiah, so that they could learn about the Savior. And so it's no surprise that here at this very important event, the birth of the Savior, that there's angels there to announce it, to herald the birth of the newborn King. And yes, God had sent them, but no doubt they counted it a privilege to get to be there that night and to be some of the angels singing and praising God. And now again, we wonder, what did this look like? It's hard enough for us to imagine. What does one angel look like? Because none of us have seen an angel, but this is something on an altogether different scale. How many were there? Hundreds? Thousands? Were they all just standing around these shepherds, or were they sort of hovering low in the night sky? Were they arranged in any particular way? It's described as a host of angels. That is, there's an army of angels. Does that mean they're all in nice, tight rows in an organized rank? Well, we have no way of knowing. But what a sight this must have been to behold, especially because these angels were singing. They were singing, says verse 14, and saying, that is, singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 14 tells us the lyrics of the song that these angels sang. They sang glory to God, and of course that had to be part of the song. God had just directed hundreds, thousands of years of history to bring about this exact event. Everything that had gone before, all of history had been building up to this one moment. And God had controlled it all. Glory to God for that. And glory to God because He had kept His promises. He had preserved the line going all the way back to Adam and Eve through men such as Abraham and David to bring about the birth of this specific child. Glory to God. And they also sang of peace and goodwill toward men. And the whole sum of Christianity can be boiled down to those two things. Peace, the angel sang of, because the Prince of Peace had come, the one who takes us who are the enemies of God, and He reconciles us. That is, He makes us to have peace with our God. He makes us to be His friends. And goodwill, that is favor, and the favor of God toward us is His grace, and it's by His grace that we're saved from our sin and misery. And now we've wondered, what did this all look like? And now we wonder, what did this sound like? These shepherds got to hear a grand choir of angels singing praises to God in perfect unity. We do not know what it sounded like, but it must have been altogether beautiful and wonderful. After these angels finished singing, we read that they left, that they went back to heaven and left the shepherds standing there. Only the shepherds did not just stay standing there. The shepherds responded. There's a threefold response. Children, that means there's three things that the shepherds did in response to what they had just seen and heard. And each one of those three is a reminder to us of how we are supposed to respond to the wonderful news of the birth of Jesus Christ. So what did the shepherds do? Children, number one, the shepherds went to see the newborn king. Verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." The shepherds immediately decided to go and see this newborn king. They were talking to one another. They were saying, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see this newborn child." And we can almost hear the excitement in the words of Scripture. And they had good reason to be excited. This thing had been made known unto them. Verse 15 ends with the words, "unto us." They recognized it was a privilege that God had revealed this to them specifically. And thus they went with haste, the Bible says. They were eager. They went as fast as they could. This was a priority above all else. The most important thing for them was not to take care of their sheep, but to go and find this newborn Savior. So they came to Bethlehem. And they searched. They went from manger to manger, looking for a manger in which there was a babe lying there wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they did indeed find Jesus. They came to Him. Verse 16 says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Children, some of you have younger siblings. Can you remember going to the hospital just after your baby brother or sister was born to go and meet that baby brother or sister for the very first time? Well, that's what these shepherds did. Just as you might go to the hospital to see a newborn baby, these shepherds came to meet their spiritual brother. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us anything about the visit itself. There's no details about what happened there. No doubt they told them why they came. They no doubt told them what they had seen and heard. But now the important thing is not the details of the visit. The important thing, children, is that they got to see Jesus Christ. And that's the important thing, because the New Testament is full of examples of men and women who wanted to see Jesus. There were the Greeks who came to Philip and saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." There were the blind men who cried out for mercy, and yes, they wanted their eyesight restored. But ultimately, they wanted to lay their eyes on the Son of David. And now these shepherds get to be the very first ones in all the New Testament to see Jesus, to lay their eyes on the hope of the world. They could say with Simeon, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, O Lord." They saw the light of the world. They beheld with their own eyes Emmanuel, the one who is God with us. Children, today we see and hear Jesus through the preaching of the gospel. The shepherds got to hear the little sounds that a newborn baby makes, those adorable little sounds that only an infant can make. But we hear the voice of our shepherd through the preaching of the gospel. No, we don't know what Jesus looked like as a baby, but we see Him set forth in the preaching every single Sunday. And that means it's good that on Christmas morning we've come to church. The Lord willing, we're going to come to church a lot over the next couple of weeks. And maybe we look up against that a little bit and we think, that's not how I want to spend my Christmas break. And admittedly, we are going to be going to church a lot in the next 2 weeks, but let the shepherds be an encouragement to us so that we come to see and hear Jesus with the same eagerness, the same haste that the shepherds came, making this a priority above everything else in our lives. And maybe we need to encourage one another in that saying, like the shepherds say, let us even now go, not unto Bethlehem, but unto the house of our God, to see and hear our Savior, Christ the Lord. So children, we said there are three things that the shepherds did. The first one was that they went to see Jesus. Number two, the second thing the shepherds did is that they told others. They made known abroad this saying, verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The shepherds did not keep this to themselves, but instead they told others, and they told others what they'd been revealed. The angel made known something unto them, and now they take that and make it known, same word, unto others. They shared what they saw and heard. And now, children, that's a reminder for us that it's good that we tell others about the true meaning of Christmas, that we tell others that Christmas is really all about the birth of Jesus Christ. And now maybe we need to remind ourselves of that first. Because no doubt for many of us, we have our homes decorated. There are gifts under the tree. There's Christmas carols playing in the background. But those things are not what Christmas is all about. There's nothing wrong with those things, but that is not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ, and maybe we need to remind ourselves of that. But then once we do, to tell others. Tell others because this is a time of year, a season of year that promises so much. It promises joy and happiness. It's advertised as the most wonderful time of the year. But apart from Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Him, all of those other things are completely empty. They're meaningless. And thus it's good for us to tell others about Jesus Christ. We sing of this, right, children? Children, I've heard you sing, go tell it on the mountain. And perhaps we also sing, I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. But now can we really say those words? Do we really tell the birth of Jesus the Christ over the hill and everywhere? We have good reason to do so because remember what the angel said. These were glad tidings to all people, to every nation, tribe, and tongue. Three things that the shepherds did, children. Number one, can you remember it? They went to see Jesus. Number two, is that they told others what they saw. And now number three is that they praised and glorified God. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. The shepherds returned. Just as we can't stay here in the sanctuary all week long praising God, so also the shepherds had to return. They had to go back to watch their sheep. They had to go back to their jobs. But when they did so, they went praising and glorifying God. They were worshiping God in their hearts for the birth of Jesus Christ. And my hope and prayer is that this sermon will stir all of us up to do the same, young and old, especially as we do consider the wonder of the incarnation, that there in the arms of Mary, being held, was the very Creator of the heavens and the earth. That the one who is the bread of life and who would tell others who are thirsty to come unto him and to drink was in a manger being fed by his mother. Let us worship God for sending his son to be born of a woman, not just as we sit here together in the sanctuary this morning, but throughout the whole of this day. Let us worship God in our hearts. And let us do so, especially because we are the ones, not the shepherds, who have the privileged position. The privileged position belongs to us, not to the shepherds. Children, did you get jealous of the shepherds this morning? Were you at least a little bit envious of what they got to hear and see? I was, when I was studying this passage. These shepherds were the only ones who got to see that heavenly host singing praises to God. They got to see Jesus Christ as a newborn babe there in the manger. All that we can do is wonder what it must have been like. We can only try to picture it in our heads and speculate about what it was like. But they got to see it and hear it. And maybe when we get to heaven, we can ask these shepherds when we meet them in heaven about the details, and they can tell us the story of Christmas from their own perspective. But while we wait, we might be tempted to be jealous of these shepherds. But understand that they would have had just as many questions. They knew what the angel had revealed to them, but no doubt they wondered, how is this Savior going to go about redeeming us? What lies ahead in the future for this child? What's his kingdom going to look like? No doubt they were also familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. And now they're being told that those scriptures have been fulfilled. But did they understand it all? Did they recognize in the lowly birth that they had just witnessed that meant there was a lifetime of humble service for our Savior? But now, even more importantly, did they see in Jesus the Lamb of God? You see, there's a reason that the angels appeared to shepherds. These men were raising sheep 6 miles away from Jerusalem. And that meant the very best of those sheep were going to be brought to the temple, laid on an altar, and sacrificed. Did the shepherds recognize Jesus Christ, the newborn babe, as the perfect Lamb of God in whom there is no spot or blemish. Did they see in that child the once and for all sacrifice for our sins? Yes, they got to see and hear the birth of Jesus Christ, but we are the ones this morning in the privileged position because we are the ones who know the rest of the story. We see what the shepherds never could have seen, for we see the cross. For Jesus Christ came into this world not only to be born at Bethlehem, but to die at Calvary. We know the depths of God's love in giving His only begotten Son, not just at the incarnation, but at the cross. We need not envy the shepherds this morning, but we can join them. We can join them in glorifying and praising our God. Having seen and heard Jesus this morning, let us worship Him for the gift of His beloved Son. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, create within our hearts a sense of wonder as we consider the birth of Jesus Christ. Fill us with a desire to praise Thee throughout all of our days. And make us thankful for the gift of Thy Son, who came not just to be born, but ultimately to die for our sins. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.